Does it matter what happens in the year 2000? Politicians and preachers try to predict the events of the last days, but can anybody really know? Or do we just live one day at a time and take whatever comes when it comes? All this week, we'll put the puzzle together. Welcome to the Voice of Prophecy. This is Lonnie Melashenko. Join us today as we search for ways to make this a better world and prepare for the world to come. Hello, friend. It's a rainy Sunday afternoon, and you're doing a puzzle on the kitchen table with your kids. 1,000 pieces. One of those. And when you get right down to the finish line, let's say several of the pieces are missing and you end up with an incomplete picture. Or maybe there are a few puzzle pieces mixed in there from another puzzle and you don't know what to do with them. Or you and the kids might just plain give up about a third of the way through. Come on, kids, this is boring. Let's watch TV instead. Now, not finishing that puzzle is really no big deal, is it? You haven't lost anything except a couple of rainy hours. But sometimes the stakes are quite a bit higher. There was a photo some years ago of a huge marquee outside one of Las Vegas' biggest hotels, perhaps the Stardust or the Mirage, and in great big 5-foot-high letters it announced that you could bet up to $500,000 on the upcoming Super Bowl. They were accepting wagers of $500,000. To me, that is unbelievable. Now, just consider that you had such a proposition down on the recent contest between New England and the Green Bay Packers. Before picking your team, you'd actually have to kind of put together a puzzle, wouldn't you? Which team would have the advantages? Who would be more likely to have a good game? Drew Bledsoe or Green Bay's Brett Favre? Who's going to throw interceptions and who's going to throw touchdowns? Who's going to get that Gatorade bath? Mike Holmgren or Coach Bill Parcells? For $500,000, you'd try real hard, I imagine, to put all the puzzle pieces in place before putting your fortune on the line. I mean, you'd weigh every factor, friend, including who had the prettier cheerleaders and what kind of popcorn was served in the stands.
But, friend, there are puzzles that are even more important to solve than this one from Super Bowl 31. The Bible contains a monumental puzzle regarding something that's of great importance to all of us living here in 1997.
I can assure you. And here it is. The puzzle of the last days. Are you familiar with the theological term eschatology? It means the study of last day events. And if anything in the Bible was a puzzle, friend, this topic certainly has to be it. There are so many factors to consider, so many pieces to the puzzle. There's a verse in the book of 1 Corinthians 15 that kind of thrusts us into this discussion. It reads like this, and I quote, "Listen, I tell you a mystery," Paul writes. "We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality." A friend, do you see how it immediately looks like a puzzle? I mean, when is this? When does this trumpet sound? Which dead people are raised? When do we become immortal? Would you let me right now, without beginning any debate, simply list some of those puzzle pieces? Now, the biggest one of all, of course, is the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's the central piece, the essence of the whole picture. Without that piece, there'd be no puzzle and no Christian faith. Without the second coming, friend, the literal second coming of Jesus Christ, why, the Voice of Prophecy has just wasted 66 years of radio broadcasting. I really mean that. But there's more. There's a resurrection. In fact, the Bible talks about two resurrections. Do they happen at the same time or at different times? Who'll be involved? Now, sincere Christians debate and disagree, so these are clearly two puzzle pieces that are difficult to put in the right place. Oh, then there's something also called the judgment. Now, when does it come in? Who will be judged? There's a 1,000-year period, usually called the millennium, and we want to place that period of time in the right place on our chart or map or puzzle board. Will we be alive then?
Do we want to be alive then? What does the Bible mean when it says that the devil will be bound during that period? And then there's the question of eternal life and eternal punishment. There's a place or an event called hell. Where does that puzzle piece go? Or does hell simply go on all the time? Perhaps hell is the table we have our puzzle resting on, and it continues unabated throughout all history. We'll discuss that issue together. And then, friend, there are four groups of people to consider. Four puzzle pieces. Listen. These are the human race. Men and women and children and teenagers and a vast mosaic of humanity making up every single person who's ever lived. There are the righteous living, those who are still alive and trusting in Jesus Christ for salvation when Jesus returns to this earth. I would love to be in that number, and I'm confident that God may grant Jeannie and me that wonderful opportunity. But there are also the righteous dead, God's saints from all time down through the ages, Adam, Abel, Moses, Abraham, the prophet Daniel, faithful giants like Martin Luther and John Wesley. Now, this is a huge class of people, another puzzle piece. What'll God do with them in these last days? Will he raise them from the dead when Jesus comes? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 kind of sounds that way, but is that necessary? Are they perhaps already in heaven? Oh, two more puzzle pieces before we start putting the borders on our puzzle. The wicked living and the wicked who are already dead. Now, friend, we don't like to talk flippantly and just call millions of people the, quote, wicked living. But the truth is that there are millions, even billions, living today who have chosen not to enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And there are billions lying in the dust of the ground who made that same fateful, fatal decision. Cain and Judas and Hitler and maybe even your next-door neighbor or cousin. People who had many opportunities to accept Christ, but plainly chose not to. Where do these four groups end up in the last days? What does the Bible say about all of them? Friend, do you see why I almost sniff in disdain at the idea of a puzzle that only has $500,000 riding on it? This, friend, is vastly more important. This is our lives and the lives of those we love. The whole human race hangs in the balance. Where we'll spend eternity is a much more crucial thing to know than the Monday morning headline telling us who won the big game. Wouldn't you agree? But you know, before we open up our Bibles and begin to explore the pattern of the last days, I'd like to open up my heart to you on an important matter. Now, we jotted down three things, three goals that need to guide every Christian as we explore this topic. Some things in the Christian life are absolutely fixed in concrete. God loves us and sent Jesus to die for our sins. John 3:16 is so wonderfully clear-cut that there need be no debate, friend. Who would want to debate that glorious truth? I can sit down in church next to a Baptist or a Presbyterian or a member of the Church of the Nazarene, and together we can praise God for John 3:16. But when it comes to this puzzle of the last days, good and faithful Christians debate and discuss together, and they disagree. So as we spend this week exploring eschatology, I want my first goal to be this: we must be humble. My friend, the perspectives I'm going to share come from my faith tradition and background, but I think they are based squarely on Scripture. Most of you know that I'm an ordained minister of the Seventh-day Adventist denomination. Now, some of what I'll propose and suggest to you are Adventist beliefs, our hopes and our dreams concerning the Second Advent, and I want to be humble about that. Your background and your upbringing might be poles apart from that, and I have the utmost respect for how you might have been taught and how you believe. I could gain a rich blessing from hearing your perspective. Undoubtedly, I'd learn a lot, just as I hope these programs might bless you. But my first goal is humility. In a wonderful book that came out quite some time ago entitled Love, Acceptance, and Forgiveness by Pastor Jerry Cook, he emphasizes this need for humility. No one is right on everything except God. And he whimsically suggested that many Christians might be on the cloud or the fiery chariot heading up to heaven and still have their time charts out or their puzzles and protesting, "Wait a minute, according to my calculations, we should still be doing such and such." So friend, especially this week as we ask God to guide us, I want you to know how much I intend to love and respect you if you disagree with me. If something seems wrong to you, please pray for me and write to me. I'll read and answer every letter, I promise. So I've jotted it down. Number one, we must be humble. I've also written this down, number two. We must be hopeful. Now, this is one thing in my Adventist heritage that I'm so glad we share with many other denominations. Friend, there's good news up ahead. The second coming is good news. Rescue is near. We can be saved, and we can know that we're going to be saved. I like how my friend Mark Finley, who hosts the It Is Written television program, says, don't focus on the crisis. Focus on the Christ of the crisis. Don't think so much about the doom and the destruction that you fail to see the deliverer. I think that's wonderful advice, don't you? So, number one, we must be humble. Two, we must be hopeful. And three, we must also be helpful. Well, that's the only reason the Voice of Prophecy is on the radio. The gospel is a helpful message. It restores and it saves. This discussion of last day events and the putting together of this puzzle is meant to help you, friend, to bless you and bring you hope. Now, if you disagree with some points, that's certainly all right. In fact, I would welcome that because it shows you're a thinking Christian. Paul had the highest praise for the people in Berea, remember, who didn't blindly accept what a preacher came along and told them. They checked every word for themselves in their own Bibles. You can read that in Acts chapter 17. But I do hope, friend, that some word of encouragement we share here, some Bible truth, will lift up your heart and give you renewed confidence for tomorrow.
That's right, friend. And we congratulate you for your determination to be a Bible student who explores important truths for yourself. This is Kenneth Richards, and we have a wonderful book that will help you put together the puzzle pieces of last day events. It's entitled The Antichrist and the New World Order by our friend Marvin Moore. For your free copy, write The Voice of Prophecy, Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. Again, Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. Just ask for The Antichrist and the New World Order. Our Canadian address, Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-800-872-0055. That's 1-800-872-0055. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. Lonnie?
Thanks, Kenneth. Tomorrow, where you and I are going to spend the millennium. Here's our title. Our only option is rescue. Until then, this is Lonnie Melashenko, together with Kenneth Richards, reminding you, friend, that it's always true. Yes, God loves you. When a trench caved in on Dwight Kaufman, Cavan Gill and Myron Jones risked their lives to rescue him. Cavan and Myron leaped into the trench and dug frantically until they had Dwight's head clear so that he could breathe. When their brave deed came to the attention of a certain government regulatory agency, it fined their employer nearly $8,000 because they had gone into that trench without putting on hard hats and without taking time to shore up the sides of the trench to protect themselves while they dug out their buddy. In this world, it seems there's no justice. Criminals get the breaks and decent folks get the shaft. But although justice is often delayed, it is sure. Right doing has its reward. Here's what the Apostle Paul wrote about the judgment day. God will give to each person according to what he has done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. Yes, God will see justice done. You can count on it.